Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during July. As always, you'll see more of the night's offerings if you can find a wide-open spot that's far away from bright city lights. For us northerners, July is a time of long, hot days. When the sky is hazy and stagnant, you'll see that stars don't seem to twinkle very much because we're seeing them through relatively calm air. Astronomers refer to this as good seeing because what you see through a telescope looks steadier than would normally be the case. On the other hand, when a cold front replaces the muggy haze with dry, refreshing air, the sky's transparency usually goes up. It looks clearer, and you can spot fainter stars. But cold fronts usually come with turbulence that makes the seeing worse and the stars twinkle more. Okay, time for a pop quiz. Is Earth closer or farther from the sun at this time of year? You might think it's closer because of summer's heat, but don't forget that it's winter right now for everyone living south of the equator. Anyway, on the night of July 4th, Earth reaches aphelion, the point in its orbit most distant from the sun. On that date, we're 1.7% farther away than on average. This will be a month when your sky-watching loyalty will be split between staying up late in the evening and getting up super early. Let's talk about the early view first. As July opens, two bright planets are stacked up low in the east as dawn approaches. Venus is the dazzling winner here, with fainter Jupiter above it by about 5 degrees. Right next to Venus, and more than 100 times dimmer, is the star Aldebaran. As July marches on, all three move up higher and farther apart. They're joined on July 15th by a slender crescent moon just a few days from being new. That should be an amazing grouping. In fact, on the morning of July 15th, the waning crescent moon will occult or cover Jupiter for most of Europe and parts of Asia. Do you live there? Or maybe you'll be vacationing there? If so, Jupiter will slowly disappear behind the moon's bright limb, then reappear from behind the dark limb up to an hour or more later. Now, that'll be interesting to watch, either by eye or with binoculars or a telescope. Let's shift to the evening hours. It's been only a few weeks since the June solstice, so the sky takes its time getting fully dark. Here in the Boston area, for example, the last bit of twilight lingers in the west until about 10:30, leaving only 4.5 hours to revel in the star-spangled night before dawn begins to creep up in the east. Once it does get good and dark, turn left a bit from the direction of sunset, and you'll be greeted by two bright planets. Saturn is at upper left, paired with the star Spica just a little below it, and Mars is to the lower right. The two planets are separated by about twice the width of your fist held at arm's length, and all three are almost exactly the same brightness. A few months ago, Mars and Saturn were much brighter, but due to Earth's orbital motion, they've slipped to the far side of the sun from us and are thus farther away. Keep an eye on these two throughout the month. They'll start off 24 degrees apart, but end up separated by just 8 degrees. During the first week of July, you have a chance to see a third planet, Mercury, in this part of the sky. But it'll be tricky to spot. You'll need a viewing location with an absolutely uncluttered view toward the western horizon. Start looking about an hour after sunset. Draw an imaginary line from Saturn down through Mars and keep going about the same distance until you run into the bright star Regulus. Now scan along that line down toward the horizon, again about the same distance, a little more than two fists, and you might spot Mercury hovering just a few degrees above the horizon. Okay, enough planet hunting for one night. Turn to your left, 4 or 5 fists past Saturn, until you're facing due south. There you'll find the stars of Scorpius. This is one of those constellations that really looks like its namesake. Start by finding the bright star that marks the Scorpion's heart. This reddish star is Antares, which means rival of Mars. Look to its right for a curved stack of 3 medium bright stars that mark the claws. On the other side of Antares, swinging to the lower left and then curling up, are a line of stars marking the Scorpion's body, tail, and upturned stinger. Depending on your latitude and what blocks your view toward the south, you might not see the whole tail. In mythology, this venomous critter put an end to the mighty and boastful Orion, and it's no accident that the hunter is ducking out of view in the west whenever Scorpius is rising in the east. New Moon comes on the 19th, and over the next few days you'll see its thin waxing crescent slide into view in the evening sky. On the 25th, just before first quarter, the moon is near Spica and Saturn. Next month, we'll look for steam coming from a celestial teapot, and what that has to do with the Milky Way. Until then, I wish you clear skies.